tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Sage Rosenfels joining us in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you got that to look forward to. Some stories that we have missed so far. Andy Dalton's still the starter in Chicago. Okay. All right. That's what Coach Nagy said. As opposed to, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how Justin plays with him out, with Dalton out. But as long as Andy is healthy, he is the Bears starter. All right. Carson Wentz, both of his ankles have been are hurt. So we'll see whether or not he is going to be able to get out there. What else? Devontae Adams said that the Packers regained their sense of urgency. They weren't ready for week one. I didn't think they looked all that great. You know what? Detroit came out smoking in the first quarter and actually had the lead. And it was like, uh-oh, is this Packers team just not all that good? They ended up winning 35-17. In a game that Jared Goff, holy crap. If you had the Lions last night catching with the 11.5, all he had to do was make one play, and all he did was screw things up. Dropping the ball, dropping the snap, throwing a bad pick. He was a mess at the end of that game.
I think Jared Goff is going to be a mess over there. I think things need to be right for him, and I'm not sure that they are. Do you still see the Packers winning that division?
Yeah. I don't think
so. I had the Bears as a playoff team, but I had the Packers winning the division. I don't see anything changing. Lions aren't going to be good enough.
I think the Vikings are going to be okay.
The Vikings are, they got beat by Arizona, but they...
They should have won that game.
Who did they... And they got beat by Joe Burrow. They're 0-2,
yeah.
The Vikings.
Yeah.
They've gone on the road and played well going into overtime in both games. Or no. No, they didn't go to overtime with the they just missed a field goal.
Yeah, they missed a field goal.
Yeah, Zim looked happy. Mike Zimmer looked happy after that missed field goal.
Oh, he was like, really.
Yep, I guess we'll just get him next time. Mike Zimmer never.
Never. He would never say that.
He looks like a guy who hates kickers anyway.
And then Kenny Golladay, he was screaming on the sidelines. And the video is he's screaming at Daniel Jones. But he said he was yelling at Jason Garrett and not Daniel Jones.
Well, he said it out loud.
Oh, no. He said I wasn't yelling at Daniel Jones. I was yelling at Jason Garrett. And you know what?
Joe Judge said he saw the two players hugging in the locker room. Didn't seem to be an issue.
Well, he was yelling at Daniel Jones. But you know what Giant fans love? Yelling at Jason Garrett.
Yeah. That's totally acceptable.
No, that's very not only acceptable; it's laudable behavior.
So, someone with
people say he's never have to buy a meal again in New York.
Someone with knowledge of the situation told me this week that Freddie Kitchens, formerly the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Freddie was hired as like a tight ends coach last year. This year, his new role is a walk around coach, meaning he goes around to all the different positions and will check them out. And basically, it's a not subtle way of Joe Judge basically saying, this is you take in as much as you can from each position group, see what you can, because you're going to be the next offense coordinator. So the thought around the Giants is what Freddie Kitchens' position is right now is basically preparing him to be OC and maybe this year. Like, it really increases the likelihood that Jason Garrett could get fired, because Jason Garrett was hired by the previous regime. It was an ownership thing. They wanted to keep Jason Garrett. And so Joe Judge is keeping him right now, but it's not for long. I mean, it's not for long. Freddie Kitchens is going to be the next OC, and it could be this year.
Yeah.
Remember, he's the guy that worked with Baker Mayfield to kind of help get Baker going.
No, he did get Baker
going. Not as a
head
coach, but as a coordinator. And maybe the thought is, well, Daniel Jones has got to start paying dividends. This is year three, and maybe they want to do that with Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. No, he actually did. And it was almost a forced job that he got hired as the head coach, because he did so well with Baker after Baker had struggled so much beforehand. And he did so well. So you go into the following season and say, well, you know, because Freddie Kitchens could have possibly left, we got to make Freddie Kitchens the head coach. It was a big mistake. It cost everybody their jobs. And John Dorsey. And I was going to ask Mary Kay Cabot, in large part, this Browns team is put together and is as talented as it is because of John Dorsey and what John Dorsey, the regime, did there.
100%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've done some nice things with the draft, this draft, but this is John Dorsey's stamp is all over this Browns team, and it's a pretty good football team. He's the one that got...
No, people wanted to give him no credit when he drafted people. They wanted to give Sashi Brown all the credit because he accumulated picks. He never sat down and made his mark and drafted somebody. Go get a good football player. And John Dorsey, you know, his biggest mistake was hiring Freddie Kitchens as head coach without giving thought to the analytics side. One, it's Kevin Stefanski. They made it known after Kitchens was hired. They leaked that out there. They were right. The analytics side in that particular case was right with Kevin Stefanski. But John Dorsey did some things that were not great from a execution standpoint, but overall he helped get them on the right track.
Yep. No,
there's,
he absolutely
there's
did.
No question he did. And maybe Nick Caserio, maybe we're going to say this about Nick Caserio, that this team is playing better football, right? And I want to bring this up. Here's what David Culley had to say about Deshaun Watson. He was asked if Deshaun Watson, before he was even asked anything, David Culley understood he had to get right to this.
First of all, let me just start off and just say this before I get asked. Deshaun Watson will be deactivated this week, just like he has been for the first two ball games.
Do you think this is a Nick Caserio decision?
Yeah, I think it's an organizational decision. This is not David Culley.
No. Nothing is going to be Culley. But you think it's I think it's Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
Because I think Nick Caserio can tell Jack whatever he wants to. I think he can tell Cal whatever he wants to. I think Nick Caserio alone is steering the ship.
I'm not a draft expert.
He has people with him, though. And so when it's all said and done, if this is all about building culture, and I know that seems cliched and corny at times, but they're in desperate need. They're in desperate need of guys who buy in. They haven't had it for a few years. Bill O'Brien let it get completely away from him. He had so many guys who wouldn't practice during practice. It was like it became the norm, and then other guys got yelled at, and it just wasn't a good situation. If Nick Caserio, I didn't love his first draft, but in Nick Caserio, I don't like the fact that he doesn't answer any questions. He thinks he has to be super secretive, and I don't like the Patriots model of everyone else is the enemy, and we are going to lock up and just do things where it's us against the world. But if he changes culture in the building, if he gets guys to buy in, if he does a good job of evaluating talent and building things, I'll jump completely on board, because that's all that matters to me is, are you building a team that the fans can be excited about? And right now, it's weird. People are more excited about this team right now than any team with Deshaun Watson last year or even the year before. Okay, that's maybe a little much, but I hear people saying, you know what? It's kind of fun rooting for the Texans. I didn't think I'd be rooting for the Texans. I'm actually rooting for the Texans.
Yeah. No. I agree wholeheartedly.
Keep that same energy when Davis Mills is on the field.
It's surprising how happy I am about the way that this team is playing. Now, the question is, you can do this with middle of the road. You got good, some good assistant coaches. They're getting coached up well. They're organized. They're doing good. This is a much better product than I thought it was going to be. The problem is that now are you going to get really good players in here, though? Because you can – the bar is awfully low that we set for this football team. So playing and having a moral victory against the Browns is nice. And in a what-if game, if Tyrod Taylor had stayed healthy, that's all nice. But is he going to be able to find elite talent on top of having an organization of culture? Because you got to have players too, okay? Getting by with the David Johnsons and the Andre Roberts and the Desmond Kings and the Eric Murrays and the players that they – the Grugier Heels, that's all fine and good. But because we don't – our expectations aren't too much. But now we got to get – he's got to go and make these drafts count where he gets elite players. And then with these organizational, with the culture, and with everything else that's going on, then you can be really, really good. What they are now is they're a surprisingly decent football team. And that's not going to be good.
But they're very much in limbo, though. I mean, they're still – this is a purgatory for the Texans.
Yes.
And for Texans fans. And they don't get out this year. But I think if – I'll just say this. What would your Sunday be like if you heard Deshaun Watson has been activated and is expected to play? What would – it wouldn't be for this Thursday. Who's the game after this one?
Oh, I don't know. It's not going to be an easy one. I remember that.
No.
Yeah. Whatever. Go.
Okay. So what would you think? Like, what would your Sunday be like?
My Sunday wouldn't be any different.
At Buffalo.
They got the Bills after this.
Okay. What if you heard Deshaun Watson is active and expected to play against the Bills? You're not going to have a little extra extra interest? Of course you would.
Yeah. I mean,
Josh Allen versus
the whole
Deshaun?
World will have an extra interest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? It doesn't impact the Texans' ability to make a deal for Deshaun Watson. I mean, other than injury.
Yeah.
You can't play the game. The same reason that people saying last year, do you even play Deshaun Watson these last three
games? If this is about injury, then it's dumb. He's got a $10 million contract. You play. In the NFL, you play. You don't be. I'm scared to play. This is not my senior year of college where I'm sitting out. I'm opting out because I'm worried.
You already got in the bag.
Yeah, you got the bag. Time to talk right now about our peeps over at Aqueduct Plumbing. Billy, you like Billy? You like Mary? You like Michelle?
I like them both.
How about thebenchplumbing.com? It's easy to get to. So you could possibly have a leak somewhere. They have got the equipment to find that leak. They have got the equipment to do any kind of work that you need. You need a repipe. It's the home of the one-day repipe. They're at your disposal. They are going to be here. Now, that's a catchphrase, but they really are at your disposal. They are going to come to your home absolutely free, find out what the problem is, and then they're and oh, by the way, sometimes it's not easy to find out what the problem is, and they've got the equipment to do that, and then they're going to fix the problem. They're not subcontracted it out.
No, and they're also not a company who is going to just, say, okay, well, you pay us this much, we'll come out there, and then if you choose to do the work, we will apply that fee. I mean, they're out there trying to help you find out what it is. They're not bullcorning around. You need a tankless water heater. They get it done efficiently, quickly. They get it done the right way. The one-day repiping is a major, major plus for you. And, of course, leaky faucets, things that bother us on a regular basis, they're the ones that you call to take care of it. Go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com. That's their website. Bookmark it. Write their phone number down. And when you need a plumber, make sure you use Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:18 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Sage Rosenfels as we do every Tuesday to break down what your Texans did this past week. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
We appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about, so Tyrod's out a month, looks like. Tyrod Taylor, I tweeted out, after the first few drives, I said, season to date, up so far, and not going any more than so far, Deshaun Watson couldn't have done any more than Tyrod Taylor has done for this team. Agree?
I've seen Tyrod Taylor play for a while now in this league, and I know the preseason is the preseason, but what I had seen from him so far this season, including the preseason, it's the best football that he has played in his career, in my opinion. Of course, I haven't watched every single game over his fairly lengthy career at this point, but really playing excellent football. And when he went out in this game, he had been playing great football, 10 of 11 passing, making things happen, not just through the air, but also with his legs, obviously, in the touchdown run. So a real bummer for the Texans team, but also a real bummer for him because he's been playing extremely well.
Yeah. What kind of job is Tim Kelly doing, the offensive coordinator?
I think he's doing a great job. This offense does a lot of things. I think he moves guys around a lot. It does seem in this game, obviously, Brandon Cook seemed to be the guy they were either trying to get the ball to or the ball just consistently went in his direction. But I think this offense it's not the coordinator who's preventing this team. It's not holding this team back. That's for sure. I think he's doing a good job of putting guys in position to be successful. And so sometimes the offense just isn't functioning at the rate that it should. You can't have a quarterback who goes the wrong way in a couple different running plays. You can't have a taunting penalty by a tight end after he makes the catch to take back that gain and then put yourself in a long situation. And you can't have drop passes. So I think he's doing a really good job as a coordinator so far. And now, of course, you're working with a young quarterback, and he's going to have to put a game plan together that best fits Davis Mills' skill set.
As I'm watching the game, and I'm watching Tyrod Taylor stay on schedule, get through progressions, and get rid of the ball, it occurred to me, and you can speak specifically to this, that Tim Kelly, despite Deshaun Watson being the more talented quarterback, the guy that can help the offense run on time is actually Tyrod Taylor. Can you speak to the unique challenges you have of having a playmaking quarterback like Watson, but some of the negatives in terms of how plays will come off schedule prematurely?
Well, they're two similar quarterbacks, other than the fact that, in my opinion, when I watch Deshaun Watson play, he wants to try to push the ball down the field more aggressively than Tyrod Taylor. I'm not saying that's good or bad. He just likes to try to putty footballs in smaller windows deeper down the field. Tyrod has a little bit more of that Alex Smith type of guy. He's a high completion percentage. He's not scared of a check down at all. He actually knows, based off of having his coaching over his career, that check downs are good. I know it's not exciting for the fans. You'd like to have a quarterback who's constantly whipping the ball down the field and trying to make big plays happen, but most drives in the NFL, you have to earn them. They have to be 8, 10, 12 plays. And when the defense is playing deep, you have to throw short. So he does a really good job of making decisions quickly, understanding that deep 20-yard dagger or some post play that they may drip as a number one guy. If he's not going to be there, move on quickly and get the ball out so your offensive line doesn't have to sit and pass protect for 5 seconds. So I think Tyrod does a great job of getting the ball out, being very, very accurate on those shorter routes, obviously. And then when there's nothing there, he makes offensive linemen look better because he can scramble outside the pocket and either throw on the run or run for some sort of game. So he does a lot of things really well. Throwing 40-yard darts down the field is not something that is really part of his skill set, but that's fine. You can win a lot of games the way Tyrod Taylor is playing the quarterback position.
Well, now it's Davis Mills, and you mentioned some of his flaws. I think Tyrod Taylor made up for a lot. If you don't have a running game, that was fine with Tyrod Taylor. If you don't have a running game, and it ain't going to be easy running against this Panthers team on Thursday night, Sage, Davis Mills is going to have, especially as their pass rush and everything else to go with this Panthers defense, this could be a long night on Thursday.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm interested to see what it's like for this young kid with his first starts and obviously getting all the reps in practice. I'm not sure the offense will change all that much, but I bet they'll find things that they feel Davis does well or what makes him more comfortable. Tyrod's got so much experience just in the National Football League, understanding offense and defense. You're just naturally going to have sort of more in the game plan. Maybe it's more audibles or more looks in your offensive game plan, and I'm sure they'll hone it back a little bit. I think that it was actually very, it'll be very helpful that he got to play the second half of this ball game for this next game, right? To go in and not have any NFL experience and go and get a start, that can be very nerve-wracking. I've seen that before, and it hasn't always gone well. So the fact that he did get a half in this ball game, and he had some definite negatives. I said a couple of handoffs. I'm not sure what was going on there. It looked like to me it was the quarterback who had sort of gone the wrong way. First pass, looks like him and Brandon Cooks were on the same page. Of course, you see that interception. Looked like just sort of behind his receiver. But as the game went on, it looked like to me Davis Mills was more and more comfortable. And I think that's a nice way to go into this next game of him having some experience rather than just straight fresh from the rookie bench into the starting lineup. That can be a tall task for any young quarterback.
What do you think of the pass protection and then subsequently the way Mills handled the rush?
I never really knew how good of an athlete Davis Mills is. And to be honest with you, I think he moves around pretty well. I thought the pass protection was pretty good in this game.
I did too,
Sometimes there's some leakage and quarterbacks have to move around a little bit. But, quarterbacks, you're not statues back there. And when you watch quarterbacks around the league, almost all of them move around a little bit. Tom Brady, not much. Tom Brady moves about two or three yards just to get out of the way of people to then throw it. But most of the quarterbacks have to occasionally escape a pass rush and run around. And I thought Davis Mills did a pretty good job in this game. But, of course, Taylor did a good job in the first half. But I think for the most part, pass protection, that's not an issue on this football team. It's not a major issue on this football team. If you have a quarterback back there and you're behind and you're trying to throw the ball a lot, you're going to have pass protection issues in this league. And the hardest thing to do in the National Football League is straight drop back pass, straight pass protection. You want to run the ball. You'd like to do three steps. You'd like to throw some screens. You like some RPO, get the ball out type of stuff. And you have to actually drop back 5 and 7 steps and hold on to the football. That's a really hard thing to do for any offense line in this league. And I thought for the most part, I thought they were all right in this game.
Well, and you just mentioned Tom Brady just moving a couple of a yard or two or three, whatever, in the pocket just to escape a pass rush. Tom Brady, you can't all out blitz him because he's going to crush you. His hot read, he'll get rid of it in a hurry. What about a defensive coordinator now with the Panthers looking at a rookie who quite possibly will miss, and you hide blitzes, you hide dogs, and you come after him. That's a little bit worrisome this week for Davis Mills. Is he going to be able to pick up those blitzes?
Yeah, I have a feeling that Carolina is going to show their hand fairly early in this game of how they want to attack this offense. Do they want to just sort of sit back and maybe a cover two or some sort of zone defense and sort of make the quarterback beat them? Or do they want to pressure the quarterback, make him make a decision quickly? And the reason Tom Brady is so good, and there's a lot, of course, about 10 reasons he's a great player, but he recognizes defenses and what's going on the other side of the ball so quickly. So if it's zone, man, he knows right where to go with the football, who are the soft spots in that zone. When it's man, he knows who to get the ball to right away, so he's not taking two or three or four hitches back there while there's 5 offensive linemen blocking 5 rushers. He knows that all those one-on-ones, usually someone's going to lose, which means he has to get the ball out quicker. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting what Carolina does if they want to force the issue with Davis Mills. Obviously, we saw the Sam Mike blitz in that game. Davis did not see it at all. Gets completely, I would say, blindsided, hit right in the chest, fumbles the ball, obviously, and the Texans recover. So he has shown that he's still a little new to some of the blitzes in the NFL, and that was an easy one. That was your just classic Sam Mike blitz. The Will runs over to try to guard the area where those guys came from, the defensive end shot. That's really one of the simplest blitzes in the NFL, and Davis missed that one and missed it hot, and obviously that caused a fumble. So I got to think that Carolina will light him up and then probably try to play some sort of safety over the top of it. Looks like after this game, Brandon Cooks, who seems to be the biggest threat on this Texans offense.
Yeah, absolutely. 14 catches already for 210 yards. Nice. All right, Sage is here for another segment. We will continue our conversation with him about this Texans team. But first, we're talking about meat. We're talking about Michael over at Peace Fine Meats. We're talking about our friend. We're talking about a great guy. We're talking about a guy who's going to get you in that tailgate. He's going to get you with those chops. His ribs, excellent. He'll get you with the chops. I don't think we talk enough about pork chops and pork ribs. And because we're worried so much about the steaks.
I once had a bone-in pork chop over there. I had never had a bone-in pork chop. Well, I guess I had before, but I hadn't had it from Pete's Fine Meat. And he had bone-in pork chops. You can get a tomahawk right now. They have tomahawks ready for you. If you're tired of ordering them at the restaurant, you think you cook a great steak, he's got them for you. Wagyu steaks, Wagyu briskets. Like, these are things that you're not going to be able to get at your local grocery store.
No.
You're just not.
If you're going to your grocery store for your meat and not going to see Michael, you're just not eating as good. Period, exclamation
point. That includes for your burgers, too.
Absolutely. The Tri-Blend is my favorite burger. The Wagyu burger is unbelievable. But he's got everything over there. He makes it all himself. His Italian sausages, pull the sausage, the bacon, all of this stuff. He just does it all himself, and you're going to love Michael. I'm telling you. He will vacuum seal it for you to put it in the freezer or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, get a big order and put some of it in the freezer.
That's it. And it's all every day. He's there. You'll love him. I'm telling you. It is the best place. And, oh, by the way, you want to have lunch? Great burgers there as well.
Don't forget the cookies.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They come out hot.
They are the truth.
So all you got to do is go to Pete's Fine Meats. It's at Richmond and Chimney Rock. You're looking for the best in meats. Go see Michael at Pete's Fine Meats.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
When you text the word money to 232323, one thing happens. It starts the process of you finding out what your homeowner's insurance could look like from a pricing standpoint. And getting competitive homeowner's insurance is very, very important. The rate, competitive rates. You're going to get A-rated insurance. That's all they deal with is A-rated insurance companies. But the most important thing is making sure that you have rates that, are competitive, because if you don't, you end up paying way more money than you need to. And in many cases, people are finding out that they can save $900 plus when they go with TGS insurance. That's an annual savings. Why would you be paying over $900 more for a homeowner's insurance when you can get it for less and still get the same quality of coverage? TGSinsurance.com. They shop a variety of A-rated insurance companies, and they bring the savings to you. Text the word money to 232323 and get a firm quote within 15 seconds. That's TGSinsurance.com.
You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:34, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels with us here. Sage, the Texans defense was awful, awful, awful last year, so the bar is pretty low. But they've been playing much better. The takeaways have been remarkable. They had three interceptions all of last year. They've already surpassed that. So that's awesome. But they did wear down against the run. In the two long drives, the Browns just ran it down their throats. Is this going to be a problem all year long, or is that a product of just the best running back duos in the game?
Well, there's a lot to really actually talk about defensively in this football game. One, they just where they sort of missed in this game was, I guess, that sort of complementary style of football where they would do one good thing and then somehow sort of screwed up. You get a sack on the first drive by Jacob Martin, and then you drop the punt, right? Sometimes special teams and defense sort of go hand in hand. So there's nothing worse than starting the game and you do a great job defensively, get off the field. Now it's the other team's ball in great field position, right? So that's a huge play in this ball game. And obviously, they're coming back very next play. They hit a hole shot. The corner has to sink there, in particular on a tight end. You have to sink back and play it deep to short when you're going to play cover two. And then, of course, next thing you know, you're down 7-0. And I just don't know if the Texans are good enough all around as a football team to come back from too many of those, too many of should be a punt, next thing you're giving up a touchdown because of the special teams blunder. and a defensive blunder. So did a lot of good things in this game. Obviously, the interception by Reed. I think Reed's playing, you know, very good football, whether it's that play or you know, breaking up another play in there. He's obviously a very good football player. But at the end of the game, you're playing the Cleveland Browns, one of the best rushing teams in the National Football League. Kevin Stefanski does a great job with the scheme, also with the two running backs that they play. It's hard to stop a team that is that good, and you've sort of been worn down over the course of a football game. Of course, the offense not doing as much positive stuff in the second half. Defense has to be on the field more, and then Cleveland just sort of ran it down their throat, of course, most importantly on that big drive sort of at the end where the Texans needed to stop and they just couldn't do it. And I'm not going to make some grand assumptions based off of that drive of the second half. But I think the defense is doing a lot of good things. But over the course of the game, you just can't have as many mistakes as they had and then continue to try to stop a really good football team, really good offensive football team like the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's – do you think – well, how much are you paying attention to the other side? Because I'm curious about Lovie Smith from a historical standpoint, what you've seen as a quarterback from how Lovie usually coordinates a defense and what to expect versus what he's doing with Houston. Is it pretty much – what you'd usually expect from Lovie Smith?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I was playing the NFL against Lovie Smith defense. Obviously, he went to college, and now he's back. But he'd always been, and it looks like from what I see schematically, he's your classic Tampa 2 style of defense. And that is very much of a bend, don't break style. You want to keep the ball in front of you again, like that, as I said earlier, on that hole shot. That corner in that style of defense has to do one of two things. Has to get his hands on the wide receiver, and this play is a tight end on the outside. You've got to get your hands on him to slow him down so the safety's not sitting back there with a two-on-one situation, a guy running down the middle and a guy right up the sideline. What's the safety supposed to do? So the details of this defense are really important, but more importantly, the pass rush is the key to this style of defense. And you do have to have at least one, and of course you'd like to have two, you'd like to have one really good, if not premier, pass rusher to be successful in this scheme. You go back to the Tampa 2 style defenses in the past, all the way back to the Simeon Rice, which really was, you know, actual Tampa, to, you know, Jared Allen with the Vikings, to Dwight Freeney with the Indianapolis Colts. Those are all Tampa 2 style defenses that had great pass rushers. And you have to have that because the defense is going to break down at some point. You have to have some sort of defensive end get there as quickly as possible so the quarterback can't just sit back there and have all the time, though, because there are holes in this defense. It is very much a bend-don't-break style, but it can be very, very successful and very hard to go against because it is a challenge for offenses to go 12 or 15 plays down the field and score touchdowns. It just is. It's a hard thing to do. You'd like to get a big play here and there. You'd like to have a run pop or some sort of bootleg or play action go for a 70-yard touchdown, and this style of defense really prevents that. But there are details in it that this team missed a few times in this ball game, and it cost them. And one of those is probably just not getting enough pass rush on Baker Mayfield. You just got to get more because he probably had pretty good time back there. Of course, he runs around pretty good too and makes it when a defensive end or an interior guy gets there, he gets out of the pocket and even runs for a couple of yards, which prevents a sack and prevents that pressure. But I think it's a good defense. It's a good style of defense. It's not a bad scheme. You have to really understand what the strengths and weaknesses are. And I think also, you know, Kevin Stefanski, who had coached against that style in practice for years, understands you want a quarterback who can get the ball out quickly, and he did that a lot in this ball game. Baker wasn't holding on to it too long because in that style, you want to get the ball out and get the ball to your playmakers and run a lot of screens against it. When you want to, the team is playing a lot of cover two, up the field pass rush, you want to run a lot of screens against that. And Kevin Stefanski caught about four or five of those in this ball game.
Yeah. You know, and Lovie, he's got to stunt more, and he did. I mean, Grizier Hill's sack was on a nice stunt.
He plays best getting downhill. Like, he's not a reactive linebacker.
No.
He is a pro.
He's already got three tackles for loss.
Yeah, when you let him fire downhill, he's making plays. I mean, he's that kind of athlete.
And Lovie is scheming that because, like you said, they just don't. I mean, Whitney Mercilus, Jacob Martin's their best pass rusher. And Emenihue is probably but right there with him. But those guys aren't going to be spectacular. So Lovey's going to have to design some stuff as opposed to have – he doesn't have a Simeon Rice, that's for sure.
Yeah, you have to get the players. And right now the Texans don't have that premier pass rusher guy that really fits the scheme. So he may change some things up and try to be more aggressive. You're more aggressive, and all of a sudden now your corners have to play more man-to-man coverage and do things that maybe aren't their strengths, because the corners in this type of scheme are good tackling corners, right? Guys that can play cover two and come up and tackle, even guys that can play more zone coverage and read and react rather than chase all day long in some sort of man-to-man type coverage. When you light people up with blitzes to try to get more pass rush, now you're talking about more man-to-man coverage, which may not be a strength for these corners. So, you know, that's the way it goes. You're trying to match scheme with player personnel, and you don't always get that right off the bat. Sometimes that takes 2 or 3 years with draft picks, with trades, with all sorts of things to get the right type of players to match the scheme. I'm going back to 2006 when I came to the Texans and Kubiak came there. You know, we didn't have a veteran premier pass rusher at that time. Of course, they drafted Mario Williams, who was just this rookie, extremely raw rookie, to try to fill in that position. Again, as we all know, it took a couple years for Mario to become a really good player. He really struggled his first year, but then after you got that sort of premier pass rusher in the mold there, something that defense has really had to account for, then the scheme, more cover two scheme that our defensive ran back then, it was definitely more effective as we got more rush on the quarterback.
Yep. That's Sage Rosenfels. Before we let you go, really quick, Sage, are you watching Peyton and Eli?
I didn't see them last night. I saw them the first game, and, you know, brought back a lot of weird memories to me. Of course, being in the quarterback room with Eli in 2010 in New York and just knowing him as sort of well as I do, you really did get to see sometimes like what Eli is like just in a meeting room, whether it's just the quarterbacks talking or he, you know, he always had a meeting or two every single week with just the wide receivers. And after practice on Friday, on Wednesday or Thursday, it was just with the running backs, where literally Eli ran the meeting and he was telling the running backs, okay, when we see this look, this is what I'm going to do. So for blitz protection, of course, receivers, he was talking more coverage, and you got to see some of that stuff, of course, you know, on that ESPN2 show. So I think it's really, really good. I think it's great that, you know, whether it's ESPN or Fox or whoever it is, CBS, to have this sort of second screen experience. It's always nice to watch a game and hear commentary, but a lot of people don't want to listen to, whether it's Chris Collinsworth or Joe Buck and Aikman or whoever it is, and they want that sort of second screen experience. And to have two brothers who I think we all can tell are actually pretty funny guys. Mm-hmm. Even Eli has this sort of quiet sarcasm to him that can be pretty funny. Of course, Peyton's got the sort of bigger personality, but to sort of watch them do their thing as you're watching a football game, it's fairly entertaining.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I watched last night. It was pretty good. That's Sage Rosenfels right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Sage. And now Texas Custom Patios.
They've got an office in Houston. They've got one in Dallas, Fort Worth. So if you have friends or family members there, make sure they know about Texas Custom Patios. Within a year, they'll have one in Austin. They keep getting bigger and bigger, and here's the reason. Their workmanship is so much better than anyone else out there that they win awards across the state, and they continue to get, you know, and I have so many of you come back to me on Twitter and say, hey, who is that patio company? Who is that patio company? It's TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, and you can start to take a look at some of the before and afters that they've done. And the chances are you'll see your space, what your space looks like, and what they can do for you. They've got patios, outdoor living spaces, patio covers, different outdoor fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, decks and pergolas, screen porches, room additions, balconies and railings. They do everything, and it's all done with a superior design and execution. Go look at the website and you'll be blown away. Financing's available, so you can truly get that extra space of your dream that you've always wanted to have. And you can do it with a company who does amazing work at TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Talking about HRP now. Those are our people. It's Mike Holly. It's Chris and Kevin and Plotkin and all the great people over there that you will really, really like. It's a University of Houston group because Mike Holly played at U of H and loves U of H. And so you Cougs fans, but anybody, listen, you want the best product for your company. You want the best payroll company, best HR company. Well, that's happening at HRP. We really, really believe in these people. They have done wonderful things for us. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company and your HR company over these tough, difficult months, if they're not getting you back on track, if they haven't helped you with your taxes, if they're not doing your taxes for you, if they don't know about the Affordable Care Act, if they haven't gotten your small business loans, if they haven't done everything that you possibly needed them to do, then go with ours. Just give them a call and let them customize a plan for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. You know, Lance, one byproduct of the Taliban rule in Afghanistan, and I don't know that people saw it coming, but the barber business is really suffering.
They make you keep beards.
Well, they make you keep beards, and actually, they're really against short and fashionable hair cutting, and actually being there's actually punishment for it. So
of course there is.
Yeah.
If you get it tightened up on the side, we got problems.
Yeah, I know, really. If you've got like a Raheel, you know.
What if you have lines?
One of those tripod things he's got going on?
If you have lines?
Like a pyramid thing on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, lines cutting. Dude.
No good?
Not only no good,
that's
you're
out?
Probably going to be beaten in the streets.
That's out?
Yeah.
Shout out to the barbers out there who are under Taliban rule.
That's
going to be tough action.
Yeah.
Can I trim it up just a very little bit?
M&M's. Everybody loves
good rapper.
Everybody loves a good M&M, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Too. No. Well, apparently, Hong Kong police feel like they're a threat.
M&M's, the candy.
Yeah. Apparently, they have been seized as a national security threat. M&M's. Three activists were allegedly attempting to incite subversion by bringing M&Ms into the country.
So what? So is there something I'm missing here? What is the what's the M&M thing?
Well, apparently, they were trying to bring in boxes of containing M&Ms, crackers, wet wipes, baby powder, and other things, and the warehouse was rated as a security threat. So, if you're trying to walk around with M&Ms. You quite possibly could be a security threat. There is a couple in Sweden that the country has rejected. They are trying to name their baby Vladimir Putin, but the Swedish tax authority will not allow.
It's not taken?
Nope. They can only be names that they cannot use to cause offense. Vladimir Putin, apparently, he's offensive to the Swedish.
What's the most offensive name for you?
Probably Hitler. Would you name your kid Hitler?
No.
Okay. Adolf?
I had lots of options, and I never chose that.
Never chose Hitler once.
Five different times I could have stepped in and said, what about Adolf?
Yeah, right.
And at no point did I say, what about Adolf? I think it goes without saying you're not going to say, what about Hitler?
Right.
That's a tough
one. That's a one. How about if you named your kid N-bomb?
Just N-bomb is the name?
N-bomb.
I feel like that is a bold choice, Cotton.
Not
that
sure.
That is a bold choice.
I'm not sure that would be.
What if you spell it E-M-E-N as a new B-A-L-M?
N-bomb.
Oh, yeah, you could, yeah,
I guess you could
do that.
Yeah. I guess you could.
I mean, if you really want to do it that badly, if that's really on your mind.
What if they spelled Putin P-O-O-T-E-N?
Now there's something. A Vlad Putin, yeah. Lance, if you walked upon a car in Mississippi and it said free car, and the keys were inside. Would you take it?
Feels like a trap. I would take it. No, not in Mississippi because there's too much gunplay. Of course, I'm in Texas, but I just would feel like this might be a setup. I would probably take a picture of it and then post it on social media and say something like, hey, guys, this is really doing, you know, you want to live your best life, or just some clever social media saying that you're supposed to say.
Your initial instinct.
These keys are in this car, and I'm here for it.
Your initial instinct was correct. It was kind of a setup since there was a dead body in the trunk. But a guy took the car.
Mafia's getting smart now.
Here.
It's a trap.
How are we going to get rid of the body? I got a great idea. We give the car away. What are you talking about, Tony? Drive to Mississippi with those dummies, and we just say, hey, free car here. Put the keys in. They drive off. Boom. They get caught with a body in the bag. They do the time. Done. He's done. We've moved the body over thousands of miles.
Ingenious. Ingenious.
It's a trap.
It was a trap. There's no question about it. Charlie Palello is next.
No, not Cars for Kids. Somebody out here's like, come on, Lance. What about Cars for Kids? No.
No.
Cars for Kids does not want to haul off your car with a body in it.
A dead body in it.
That's not part of Cars for Kids.
Yeah. Charlie's up next. What you got today, Charles?
That beats the hell out of me. Stay up for the Astros. Is Marwin going to be on the playoff roster?
That's a good question. We posed that earlier.
It's Marwin or Siri.
What about Siri?
Siri has to be.
You're not going to use Marwin to pinch run.
I mean, really, the Astros. Diaz.
Yeah. Other than Maldonado, the known in the lineup, are you going to pinch hit for? So,
the stolen base thing is kind of a big deal with Siri, too, yeah.
And my not exactly crusade is if they face lefties in the playoffs, Brantley should sit. He sucked against lefties all year. McCormick and Siri keep showing out. You're better defense with those guys.
Isn't that crazy?
What happened to Myers? We just kicked Myers to the curb.
No, he's the primary center fielder.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm saying left field, Siri or McCormick. Better D and against left-handed
pitching. Could you have imagined saying that 2 months ago?
So sad.
Sitting Brantley for Siri. You're like, Siri the Skeeter? Yeah.
I'm not sure, though, that you're right about Myers being your every. I can see McCormick being in there, and I can see even Siri maybe being
there. They'll do the analytics, matchup game versus specific pitcher styles and so forth. First world problems.
We'll see. Yeah, there are good problems to have, that's for sure. Charlie's next right here. Don't you go anywhere. But Lance first. A little TGS.
TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323. TGS Insurance is going to have you a quote within 15 seconds, and you're going to be able to get into A-rated insurance for $900 savings in many cases. 232323. That's the number, and all you have to do is text the word money. They will have a quote to you within 15 seconds, and we're talking about companies that are giving you the same coverage that you have today. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
Take a look. There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.